Well, first, building consents have sunk to their lowest level in 5 years, despite a huge need for new homes. And more construction firms are going to the wall. Over 100 construction companies have collapsed in the first 2 months of this year, according to the credit bureau Centrix. That's up 21% on the same period last year. Over a quarter of all liquidations so far this year have come from the building sector. Stats NZ says the number of new dwelling consents issued in the year to the end of January was down 26.3% compared to the previous 12 months. Just over 13,000 fewer consents issued. The biggest decline was in Tasman District, where new dwelling consents were down 45.8%, followed by the Wellington region down 40.6%. Meanwhile, a net 134,000 people immigrated here in the last year, putting even more pressure on the housing sector. So what's going on and what are the implications? Keith McLaughlin's the Managing Director of the Credit Bureau Centrix. Morning, Keith.
Good morning, Catherine.
With us also is Peter Cooney, Director of Classic Group, which includes Classic Builders. This is one of the country's largest residential building firms. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning to you.
Keith, can we start with the numbers you're seeing in the first 2 months of this year?
Yeah, so focusing on the construction sector, what we're finding is that the arrears within the construction sector have increased quite dramatically. As you alluded to, they're up over 20% on where they were the same period last year. And it's a continuing trend actually right across a lot of industries that arrears are climbing to record highs at the moment.
All right, what's driving it? There's some obvious pressures, but what's driving it?
Well, what we've seen is that discretionary spending has been pulled right back. Many households just don't have any available cash to spend on things such as alterations or saving for a new home. And those that do have the funds available are keeping them very tight to their pockets. They're reluctant to spend money on discretionary items, rather wait and see what happens over the next 6 to 12 months as far as the economy is concerned.
And also the price value of property, if anything, is coming back again, coming down again, Keith.
Well, I mean, that's an area that's probably beyond my expertise, but certainly we're finding that small businesses, which are a lot of the tradespeople, are borrowing against their houses to support their businesses in difficult times. And with the interest rates having climbed, it's putting a lot of pressure on those particular small businesses. And that's where a lot of the arrears are coming from at the moment.
So they're often using their own homes as guarantee. They're facing high interest rates on the business, high interest rates on their own mortgages, perhaps. The businesses that are folding, what do we know about them?
Well, I mean, it's across the range. Certainly, it's been an overweight as far as from what we can see as far as the residential builders and construction firms are concerned. We know property developers at the moment are a high risk because they seem to have invested in properties that, as you alluded to earlier, are not holding or increasing in value the way they thought they might have. And they have been caught with an increase of costs. And again, there's probably somebody on the call better to qualify to talk about that than I am. But we are certainly finding that, you know, construction, property developers are particularly being hit hard at the moment.
Debts are higher. And are they higher than normal, even in a part of the economic cycle like this?
Yes, I mean, traditionally you would find arrears do go up in January, February, post-Christmas. But the arrears are higher now and trending higher than they have done certainly over the last 4 to 5 years.
Are you also hearing that IRD is being tougher at the moment with its arrears than it was, say, during the pandemic?
Yes, I think when you go and have a look at the IRD arrears numbers, they have climbed, particularly with business debt to the IRD. And I think what happened during the pandemic and shortly thereafter, there was a reluctance to enforce some of the tax arrears. We are sensing at the moment that the position is changing and that there is more proaction in trying to recover those outstanding tax debts. And that, again, is putting pressure on many of the small businesses.
Anecdotally, what are you hearing about developers and the smaller scale spec builders?
Well, just talking in the market, a lot of the spec builders have actually, from what I see, have pulled out of the market and are actually working on wages now rather than doing their own developments because of the uncertainty, because of the difficult economic environment where property is not increasing in value at the rate that it had done in the past, and the risk associated with being a property developer. A number of the people that I regularly speak to are now actually out working for wages until things settle down somewhat.
It's what I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure if there's a measure. We're talking about the issuing of new dwelling consents, new dwelling consents, but can we have any measure on the number of dwelling consents that are approved, but the development's not going ahead at the moment?
Look, I wouldn't have that number, Catherine.
Okay.
We tend to look at the back end of it rather than the front end.
Understood. So all of this feeds into lower confidence by those who are in a position to proceed with a new build, logically though, doesn't it? And entering into a contract for a new build, people, how can you know if your builder's going to make it through?
Well, I mean, it's all around. I mean, consumers, households are reluctant to spend money if they don't have to. For example, credit demand on new vehicles is way down on what it has been in the past, and that's indicative of the fact that people are really just not going out and buying non-essential things. We are finding that part of the population is not impacted to the same extent by the cost of living or increase in interest rates, but they are still keeping their money in their pocket.
Yeah, that's what you've talked about often, that this in many ways is a two-track recession. Those who are mortgage-free in a different position from those being hit with the interest rates increases. Although they're still dealing with cost of living increases, other cost of living increases if they're on fixed incomes. This Stats New Zealand data, however, back to the consents, actually has some interesting regional differences. Could you point out some of the most affected areas?
Geographically?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I think when we look at arrears, and again, I haven't got it broken down into specific industry sectors such as construction or developers, but certainly when you look at the areas that are most affected by arrears at the moment, it tends to be areas that are rural or North Island based. I think the South Island arrears are a much better position than those in the North Island. And it seems to be around the centre of the North Island, which is most affected by the increase in arrears. So, and again, I think that just relates to employment opportunities, income, and
Right.
just the general environment out there.
But in terms of the regional differences of consents, an overall drop of 26%, but some of these regions, Tasman at 45.8%, the Wellington region down 46%, they're big drops in, in areas where actually you would expect there is demand for new housing.
Again, Catherine, I'm not the right person to comment on
All righty.
consents
Very
by
good.
geography.
Thanks, Keith. Stay with us if you can. And let's bring in Peter Cooney now. What are you seeing in the building and construction sector? These are very tough times.
They definitely are tough times. And look, there's a number of factors at play here. Interest rates are probably the biggest killer, although we've had interest rates at 8% before. Back then, house prices were, half the price of what they are today. So it makes a huge difference. The other big factor we've seen over the last few years and since COVID is construction costs. I mean, they've gone up nearly 40% over the last 3 or 4 years. And so that's been a major blow to the industry, especially if you're in the vertical space. It just makes it unviable to build these vertical apartments now. They're up to $6,000-$8,000 a square meter. It's just it doesn't become feasible when interest rates are so high and the costs are so high.
So
And the other big
the drop
factor,
off is not anything to do with a lack of demand or a lack of need or a lack of interest. It's
no,
simply the numbers don't add up.
100%. The numbers are there. Our inquiry levels are still strong. People can't get over the line from an interest rate point of view. I think the banks are stress testing them at 9%. They're just finding it too tough. And look back, if houses were back in the days at 500,000, they'd get over the line. But they've doubled and they're $1 million. So it makes it a lot harder to pass that test. And coupled with that, you know, you talk about, you're 100% right. You know, the immigration's still very strong, the demand is still there, but we've got this major lack of supply of housing, and that a lot of it's related to, you know, infrastructure, councils not having the money to invest in infrastructure. And look, to be fair, if I look at it, if you go back to 07 after the crash, I think most councils went to sleep at the wheel, thinking that we'd never see another boom like we saw from 2015 on. And of course, when everyone realised that we're having a boom, you know, you've got the good old RMA Act there, and at the time it takes to bring something to fruition in this country just takes too long. Then you put the national policy statement on top of that, you know, biodiversity, fertile land and water, and you've really got one of the biggest clusters we've ever seen in this country as far as trying to get housing and affordability to the market. Most councils have turned around and said, oh, shit, we've got no infrastructure. How do we solve this? And what they've gone, the bright idea is, let's just build vertical, you know, that'll solve it. We've got enough land, we'll just go high-rise. But with the construction costs the way they are and the type of target market you're targeting, it is just not going to work. It's just not feasible.
Okay, let's look at the implications for this. Classic Builders began in 1996 in the Bay of Plenty. It's now nationwide, but can we talk about Tauranga? It has an enormous housing shortage, as many as 5,500 houses needed. It's the second highest or fastest growing region and some of the highest rents in the country. And you've called this a double whammy for Tauranga. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we've got a major shortage of housing and we just can't get land to the market. I mean, here we are. We're involved in a project in Te Ariki, which everyone is supporting. It's been on the radar. We've been trying to get it rezoned for 8 years. Thanks to the RMA Act, the processes, the national policy statements, we're 8 years into trying to get a piece of land that's, that council, the regional council, everyone wants it to happen and are pushing for it to happen. Yet we're still 8 years down the track trying to bring this land to fruition. And on top of that, you've got a council that's got no money, struggling to pay for the infrastructure upgrades. I mean, you know, that process in any council is just going to lead to an absolute shortage of housing and a price increases, which involves, you know, rent increases as well. I mean, it's just not viable. We just can't operate like this. You know, problem with the country is councils and regional councils have been given no structure or no pathways to go forward. They're governed by an RMA Act that is so onerous and outdated that it's really hard to get anything off the ground.
Okay, so that is something this government is looking at moving on apace on a number of matters. It talks about wanting to flood cities with new housing opportunities, be it vertical or fringe or greenfield. But let's come back to this immediate cost situation that we're in, Peter. Net 130,000, in fact, I think it's even higher if you come forward another month, coming into the country at the moment. What are we heading for if these new build consents, A, drop off a cliff, and B, could you comment on whether some already consented developments are now being delayed?
Oh, there's a lot of consented developments being delayed. You know, ourselves, we've even got projects we've put on hold because they're not viable anymore and the demand's not there. You know, we just can't get the purchasers over the line, so therefore we're delaying a number of projects around the country and slowing a lot of projects down just because of the, you know, as I said, the demand's there, we just can't get it over the line. We just can't get purchases over the line.
Well, some in Auckland, some developers are bulk selling rather than maximising the profit, staging and selling themselves of anything up to 20 or 30 units. They just want a whole development off their books. What does that indicate?
Indicate that it's not viable and they just need to get as much money back as they can to put back in the pot to keep going. I mean, in these times as developers, you've got to take the good times with the bad times. And in the bad times, you've just got to unload what you can and get what money you can back into the system and regroup. And that's what people will do. They'll just unload for the sake of it. Or they've found that just not viable anymore. As I say, a lot of people got caught out with those construction cost increases. And as I said, it takes a number of years to get the project underway or consented. By that stage, you've had price increases, you know, over 3 years, gone up 40%. You know, it just doesn't stack up anymore. And interest rates at 8 or 9%, you're borrowing. Banks are even higher than that for doing a development. You're into double digits now to borrow. So all of a sudden it becomes unviable. So you will see a real lack of development in this country for quite some time. And unless they change this RMA process, unless we get interest rates down, and we need to get those construction costs down. And I don't know how we're going to do that, because New Zealand's controlled by a small number of monopolies that control the material side of things in New Zealand.
You're one of the biggest residential building companies in the country. You've been in business a good few years. What are you seeing with the smaller operators? I mean, I'm just remembering the number of liquidations we had post-GFC, and it's eye-watering. We're talking thousands.
It's brutal. You know, the smaller operators live, you know, day to day, really, and, you know, they can't afford to take too much of a downturn, and they're the ones that get seriously affected. And then it's just a snowball of effect from there. They need continuous work to keep, you know, to keep profitable. And when you get a market like this, it becomes very inconsistent. We find in this market that, you know, you can't sell off the plans anymore for the very reason you were talking about. You know, is the builder going to still be around by the time he finished? You know, I'm going to give my deposit. So people become very gun-shy, and so they go to the second-hand market, and that becomes a stronger market than the new builds. We find that we have to physically go and build them, and so they finish with a code of compliance, and then they sell. But not a lot of people can do that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the consequences of liquidation. I don't know if you want to comment, Keith, but you end up with subbies not being paid. Sometimes they will withhold essential services till they are paid, possibly by the homeowner. You're not going to get your code of compliance if someone's not going to sign off on something, right? So this makes people wary. Either of you.
Yeah, no, look, it makes them extremely wary, and it does have a, you're right, it has a major snowball effect, and it really does, ripple through the industry. And as I say, you know, I don't believe we've seen the worst of it. I think we've got quite a tough 6 months coming up. We need to see, the only way we're going to see things get going again is we need to see interest rates come down, and we need to see availability of realistically priced land. At the moment, everyone's ring fencing. Every city, tier one cities, ring fencing their cities, and they're saying we're going to go up. Going up is not going to solve our problem, because okay, the cost of going up is twice that of doing something single or two level housing.
Okay, the Certified Builders Association tell us that some of their members are letting apprentices go. That raises worries about the pipeline of qualified builders, doesn't it?
Well, what happens there, it happened in 07, is they all leave the industry because it's so uncertain and you can't get them back. So when the market turns again, we get back into the same old situation that we've had. If the market starts to move, we get a real shortage of subtrades, and it's just a catch-22.
Look,
in my view, interest rates should never have gone down to 3%. It was just ludicrous. It created an absolute building frenzy. Every single person got into it. And it was just, you could see it. You could see what was going to happen. You can't have the market going at that pace without consequences.
Look, thanks both of you.